We know what God did with the Israelites. We know the miracles of the Red Sea. We know the miracles of getting rid of the Egyptians and the Egyptian army. We know the miracles of everything that happened to them, God providing for them for 4 years, but they were lost for 4 years, wandering in the desert, in the wilderness, not knowing what God has for them. And if you recall, a few months ago, we said, God told them that I'm going to take you from the land of Egypt into the land that I'm giving you, that I have given you. So our Christian walk, our spiritual life is not just leaving the world and leaving the life of sin. It's leaving the life of sin, leaving this world, and going into a new life, being a new creation with God. And they kept wandering and wandering in the desert. They kept wandering in the wilderness. How does that help us? Because we've done the same. We received the forgiveness of Christ. We received the blood of Jesus. But a lot of us are still in between. We haven't really claimed the promises that God had for us. We went on for 11 chapters, and I was about to ch start chapter 13 today after we took a little break for Christmas. But I thought it would be good for us to actually just summarize the first 11 chapters, where they fought and fought and fought. And it was kind of perfectly done how God put it for us, because the first 11 chapters talks about, crossing the Jordan and then going from one city to another, conquering kings. And then chapter 12 gives us the names of all the kings that they conquered, And then chapter 13, it starts kind of a new thing where Joshua is now getting old, and God tells him, hey, there is more to do. There is more to do. There are a few little areas still left. So this is where I was going to start today. But I truly felt in my heart that maybe we should just go back and review the 11 chapters all together, because we did take a long break. And I remember the first time we talked about Joshua 1, that was, I don't know, maybe a year ago, or at least close to. So it's I'm gonna go through in the next 10, 15 minutes, I'm going to go through the first 11 chapters, summarize it for us. And you're probably going to think, why didn't we just do that for the last year? Just do it in 15, 20 minutes. But, it's better to just go word by word. And then I want from you guys to share with the rest of the group what God had done through this with you. Because if this is just information, if this is just history, then there is no need for this. And I'm not good at it. I'm not good at giving history. I'm not a teacher. I'm not here to just go through the history of the Israelites. I'm here to ask God to speak to us. So when I go through a chapter, when I go through a verse, I can take it and apply it to my life. And I have to say, it's been a life-changing journey for us. As we're going through chapter by chapter, verse by verse, it's funny how we go through a chapter and then, or a verse or something or an incident, and then the first day after or the week after, Dean and I are going through the same exact thing in our personal life. And I feel like God is challenging us. Did we actually learn this, or God was preparing us for what's to come? Can we easily be deceived? Can we easily just give into the things of this world, or what is it exactly? So I'm gonna try to summarize, just to refresh your memory, of the first 11 chapters that we went through, and then please share with us, what anything that stuck with you. And then next week we'll start the second part of Joshua, which is starting chapter 13, and that's when the war is over. Something else has happened. The contract has been signed, everything has been done. Now it's time to actually take position and do some work and do the things that we have to do as owners of the land, as owners and occupants of the land, not just as owners, but owners and occupants of the land. So, really quick, Chapter Joshua 1, it was, we called it the Battle of Joshua. This was not the battle against the other armies or the hunger or wilderness or anything. It was Joshua, the Battle of Joshua. And you and I go through these battles as well. The battle when the first verse that says Moses was dead and the word of the Lord came to Joshua. It starts with a very dark season that Moses, the person who was leading everyone, the person that Joshua was looking up to, the person that Joshua loved, is now gone. And does God leave Joshua alone? Absolutely not. And now Joshua is learning not to receive the word directly from Moses. He is receiving the word through God himself. So God is preparing Joshua for something amazing. The first thing that he tells him, yeah, I acknowledge that this is a tough season for you. You know, just like you and I go through these tough seasons. Do you know that a lot of people in January fall into depression because of the holidays that are over? It's actually known. It's a known fact. Christmas is over, New Year is over, and now people are actually going to have to get back to work and back to, and they're like, wow, we have to wait another year for all of that to happen again. A lot of people get really depressed because the holidays are over. Now we're not talking about holidays, we're talking about Moses, his teacher, his friend, his mentor, the person who's leading the whole nation. He was going through some hard times, just like you and I have those seasons where we feel like this is suffocating. This is not right. There is so much pain here, you know? But God comes quickly and tells him, do not fall into depression. Do not be afraid. Be encouraged because I will be with you. Just like I was with Moses, I will be with you. The first thing that we learned in this book is that God is with us. And God can lead us just like the work he's done through Moses' life. Guess what? He can do through your life and my life. Joshua would not have probably ever imagined that he would be able to cross the Jordan. He would be able to bring walls down. He will be able to go against hundreds and hundreds of thousands of armies with horses and chariots and all of that. You know, he probably never thought of all of that could happen through his life, you know, but God came to him and delivered him from his own fear, from his own limitation. My prayer, the first thing that I want to pray for today, may God deliver us from our own depression, from our own fear, and from our own limitations to ourselves. We limit ourselves so much because we look around and we're like, where is Moses? No, it's not about where is Moses, it's where is God. It's actually, where are you? Because God keeps calling, God keeps speaking, and God keeps wanting to. Did I say I was going to take 10, 15 minutes? I lied. Anyway, so don't fall into depression, don't be disappointed. I'm going to lead you, okay? You're going to lead this nation across the Jordan. You've been in this wilderness, you've been in this place for so long. Do you remember how long it should have taken from Egypt to the Promised Land? How many days? 11 days, right? Something like that. 11 days to 2 weeks maximum. And how long did it actually take? 40
Years.
years. But it doesn't matter because this is our moment. This is our day. You know, I don't want us to look back and say, you know what? I ruined it. I should have done this and this and this and this. No. What we need to do from now on, that this is a new moment, this is a new day, and God has given me a new opportunity, and God is telling him that you're going to lead the people across the Jordan. And every inch you step on, it's yours. Okay? So now there's a new revelation that you're actually going to have to go and walk. This is not going to be daydreaming type of relationship. This is not just going to be your like across the Jordan or next to the Jordan, or like, just having a drink by the Jordan and all these cities will be given to you. No, you're going to have to step. You're going to have to start moving. You're going to have to go. And we learned through the whole, all the 11 chapters, did Joshua just stand still? He kept moving. He kept going. So you're going to keep moving. You're going to keep going. And as you go, every place you go, I will give to you from the north to the south, from the east to the west, every direction, every kingdom, the mountains, the valleys, every place you go, I will give to you. This is good for you. This is good for you and for me to hear, because we feel like there are a lot of places in our lives that are lost, a lot of places in our lives that are unreachable, a lot of places in our lives that we lost in the past, and where we very much just put it in the grave and said that this is gone. God is about to revive everything that he's ever told them in the past. And guess what? The same thing will happen to you and me if we believe in him today. No man shall overcome you. I mean, Lord, you're talking about kings. You're talking about, as I said, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of soldiers and equipments and everything. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You can have all the Goliaths in front of you, and you could be a small shepherd boy, and God will still deliver you. Be strong and courageous, because you will not just take the land, no, but you will divide the land for everyone, for every tribe. Meaning, I'm not just going to bless you, but you're going to be a blessing. You're going to be my hand that gives people their portion. You're going to be my voice that speaks to people, and my eyes that show people the things that I have given to them long, long time ago. Every time you see a neighbor, every time you see a friend, every time you see a coworker, remember this wor these words. As God has been speaking to you, as God has been doing something in your life, you will also give to someone else. This is not just an individual call to Joshua. This is not an individual call to you and me. This is a call for us to receive and to give back. And then we hear about the story, and also God tells him, make sure that the word of God becomes your foundation. When you're in war, go back to the word of God. When you're in disappointment, go back to the word of God. When you're confused, go back to the word of God. And then we hear the story of Rahab. When Joshua sends the spies go to this harlot's house, and she hides them there, and she tells them she lived in Jericho. And the irony there is, Jericho is like this amazing city that people live in, strong city, and all of that. And but people there are frightened. And this was a great lesson to me when we were studying this, that it doesn't matter the financial strength, the military strength, the whatever strength that a city has, if it doesn't have God, that city is living in fear. That home is living in fear. That family is living in fear. So they go there. She hides them. She believes. She tells them that everyone is frightened. Everyone's scared. Everyone, when they heard that you guys are coming, we lost our hearts very much. And they give her a sign that when they come, she asks for a sign. She asks to be saved. When they come back, and they make her a promise, they go back to Joshua, tell them everything, and now they're about to cross the Jordan. And the crossing the Jordan was such a beautiful, beautiful image. When we see the priests carrying the Ark of Covenant, the presence of God, and stepping into this raging Jordan, this flowing Jordan, coming down, the water coming down, and they step in, holding the Ark of Covenant, standing strong. Standing strong. And this is the role of a priest. This is the role of every servant, to stand strong, carrying the presence of God so other people can cross over. until everyone crossed over. And they did something amazing. Do you remember what they did? The stones. Remember the stones that they took from the bottom of the Jordan and the stones that they put into the bottom of the Jordan? But those stones out of the Jordan, out of the middle of the Jordan, into the other side, will always remind them of what? Of the miracle that God has done with them. And I remember challenging all of us, have we built some stones? Do we have some stones in our lives? Do we have testimonies that we go back to all the time and say, Lord, you were with me then. And what makes me think you're not going to be with me now? You were with me when the Jordan was raging. You were with me when this was an impossible situation. You were with me, and I can see the stones to remember myself, to remind myself, because a lot of times I forget. I don't know about you, but if I have to guess, you probably forget too. We forget what God has done in our lives. So they bring up the stones and they put them out as a sign of what God has done. So now everyone crossed the Jordan. Everyone is on the other side. They're about to go city to city. And what do they do as soon as they cross the Jordan? They have a big, huge party, right? Right? No. What do they do? They get circumcised. So this is their welcome party to the promised land. Welcome to the promised land. Here is your welcome drink. Nope, it's circumcision. And we talked for about 2 weeks about the circumcision of the heart. As we step into this new season with God, as we step into this new, the new experience with God, new life with God, we need to exercise circumcision of the heart. We need to put the flesh to death. You know, this is reviving the covenant that Abraham had with God, because Abraham had messed up when he thought, you know what, I can go get babies. I don't have to wait. I don't have to wait for Isaac. I don't have to wait for the promises of God. I can just go get babies on my own. You know, that's not how it works. If God gave us a promise, no matter how long that promise, you know, waits, no matter how long God waits, the promise is coming. So God made this covenant with Abraham. The same thing happened to the Israelites. As we step into a new season of our life, let's remember that we need the circumcision of the heart, that we go deep into our heart and look at everything that's walking on its own, where our desires, the things, our ideas say, telling us, yeah, you should do this. Yeah, you should do that. No, you can do this. No, you can do that. That needs to be circumcised. That needs to be eliminated. That needs to be gone, because it is a new season where God is the one that's leading us. Then we have the Battle of Jericho. You know, and what a wonderful battle that is. You walk in, everyone is sick, everyone is hurting, and then you look up, and then here it is, the greatest Jericho, the big city with the big, huge walls that no one, absolutely no one, can destroy. Lord, why are you bringing me here? Have you ever thought that in your Christian walk? And you're encouraged. You heard a great message Sunday morning. You heard a great message, hopefully, Wednesday night. And you feel like this is the day. And then Thursday morning, you get on the car. Someone cuts you off, and you have that little thing. When someone cuts you off, you get very upset. And that's your Jericho, that you can't control your emotion. Or if you're dieting, for example, and you're like deciding that this is my New Year's resolution, I'm going to eat healthy. And then the first thing, a nice piece of chocolate chip cookie in front of you. And that's your, whatever it is, whatever your wall is, drooling. Whatever your wall is that you're going to see, you feel like, why am I here? Why am I here? There is no way for me to cross this wall. Well, here's how they crossed the wall. They obeyed. God said, you're not gonna overcome these walls. You're not gonna overcome the people inside the city by swords or by horses, by anything. Just walk around and praise. Just walk around and worship. Just walk around and give God the place he deserves. You know, this is the greatest act of worship we can ever give to God. Walking in obedience, literally and metaphorically. Walking in obedience. Walking in obedience. For 6 days, they're walking around, one time each day, one time each day. On the seventh day, you know, go walk around it 7 times. And as they're walking, as they're praising, as they're holding on, they're not worried about the arrows from those walls. They're not worried about the armies behind those walls. They're not worried about anything. All they need to worry about is just obeying God. This is a great lesson. This was a great lesson for me, and I hope it is for you. Because a lot of times I keep thinking, how is this tuition going to be paid? How is the stock market going to be handled? How am I going to handle this week? How am I going to handle this? How am I going to handle this? Just walk in obedience. The moment I decided to just walk in obedience, every wall almost disappeared. Whether it's still there or not, but even if it's there in the physical, it is no longer there in the spiritual because I'm walking in obedience to God. This is a great lesson for us. This is a great lesson for us as we remember Jericho, as we remember these huge obstacles, as you remember right now, maybe you have things that are going through your mind right now. You know, these are walls. Just walk in obedience and watch every wall fall down. No fear whatsoever. Then and after this wonderful, great victory comes a great defeat. You know, they conquered Jericho, the great city. Then they go into we go into Joshua 7 and 8. Then it's the battle of Ai. Do you guys remember the battle of Ai? Remember how it was a very small city that they decided only 2,000-3,000 people will go? Not everyone, not the whole army. But the problem is there was sin in the nation. There was sin in the camp. Not only because of Achan, who stole the things that he was not supposed to take, the things that God said to them, do not touch these things. God said it. God was clear. God was clear to you and to me and to Achan and to everyone. Do not touch these things. These are not yours. And Achan took it anyway. And then there's sin. There's a general spirit of sin. Again, not be just because of Achan, but because of almost everyone. Then they get defeated in the battle of Ai. Then Joshua comes broken before God. And that's the best thing we can do. When we fall, the best thing we can do is we get on our face and come before God and cry out to him to come and help us. Because it's not all going to be victories. It's not all going to be great. We're going to have our defeats. And we can turn those defeats into victories if we humble ourselves and come before God. And then we hear about how Achan confessed, and then the leaders and everyone stoned him and his family, you know, and that and they burned them as well, and that place was called the Valley of Achor. Do you remember the Valley of Achor? We talked about it. The meaning of the Valley of Achor is the Valley of Trouble. And it says while that book of Joshua was being written, it says that the Valley of Achor is still there till that day. But, you know, because God is so merciful, because I know what you're thinking right now. I was like Achan. I know what you're thinking. I stole. I cheated, I lied, I hated, I did this, I did this, whatever it is that you're thinking about right now, there are two verses that I can share with you. In Hosea 2:15, it says, "And I will give her vineyards from thence, and the valley of Achor for a door of hope." See, when Jesus comes, when Jesus came, he will change the valley of trouble. That's what it means. The valley of Achor means the valley of pain or the valley of trouble. He will change the valley of Achor to the valley of hope, and she will shall sing there. So the valley of trouble, the place where you had trouble, the place where you were defeated, the place where you felt like you blew it, and pain came to you and to people around you, Jesus can come and change that valley of Achor into a valley of hope and a valley of singing, a place of hope and a place of singing. This was so freeing to me. This just gave me so much hope because I, like Achan, have messed up so much. And the worst thing about messing up is not just for you, it's for the people around you, especially the people you love, And we talked about that. But because of Jesus, because of the work on the cross, because of his love for us, the valley of Achor can be changed into valley of hope and singing. Then we go on to the battle of deception. The battle of deception. You guys remember the Gibeonites? When they came, they plotted and they said, "Let's wear some worn out clothes, have some old bread, old food, and then let's go," even though they were just the city next door. And they came to Joshua and said, "Just make a treaty with us." And the Joshua and the Israelites didn't really again consult with God, didn't come back to God. So they were deceived and they were tricked. But more importantly, in that the people of Gibeon, if you compare their story to Rahab, why didn't you just come humbly in faith and accept the message that God is giving you? And this is the difference between still someone who still has a relationship with God as a slave and a master, and someone who has a relationship with God as a son and a father. When Jesus started teaching the disciples how to pray, did he say, "Our masters who is in heaven," or "Our Father who's in heaven"? He wants us to call him Father. He wants us to come to him as children come to his father. But the Gibeonites decided not to do that. The spirit of fear and the spirit of taking matters into their own hands and trying to do things on their own took over, and they came and they tricked the Israelites, and they voluntarily accepted the life of slavery instead of the life of freedom. While we know that God loved us so much that he is calling us and he adopted us into his family. And then now we go into Joshua 10 and 11, and if you recall, we talked about all the battles that they went through, the fights. We talked about the five kings that came against them, and the sun that stopped and stood still. And we talked about how there are scientific facts that there is a day in history that is missing, and there are historians that recorded that there was a day that was much longer than any day ever been before. And we hear about how Joshua put them in those kings in the cave and closed the cave while the sun is out for a whole day, so Joshua and the Israelites can do their work, can finish the job that God has for them. The thing about these kings, Some of them worshiped the sun, and some of them worshiped the moon. Okay? So think about it for a second. The ones who worship the sun. Here is the sun, and it's there for the whole day, and it's still not helping you. And for the ones who are worshiping the moon, where is the moon? I mean, it's clockwork that you see the moon every day. It is one of those things that are not really changing. But because you worshiped it, because it's time for judgment, that moon is gone. So whether you're a sun worshiper or a moon worshiper, both of them were destroyed that day. And those kings lost their lives. So let us be careful. Let us be careful what we put our trust and hope in. If we put our trust in money, for example, there could be so much money. Someone could have so much money. I honestly know people in my work circle. I know people that they have so much money that no matter how much they spend, there is more. There is more and more. But they are truly some of the saddest and most miserable people I've ever met in my life. Ever. And they thought, when we get that money, when we get this next building, when we get this next business, when we get this next 10 million, things will be better. It never gets better. Those kings lost their lives. They were killed. Whether they believed in the sun, whether they believed in the moon, it didn't matter. Those gods never helped them. And then we see the other battles that the kings that gather together to come against to come against Joshua and the Israelites. We talked about the battle of Makeda, the battle of the shepherds. Who is my shepherd? We started looking at all these things deeper and deeper. The battle of Libnah, the sin that is still hidden in my life. At the battle of Lachish, the self-sufficiency. Where do I find my sufficiency? Is it in God or is it in myself and the things I have? Eglon, the power and the strength. Hebron, the giants, the beard, the religion and legalism. Kadesh, the unbelief in the wilderness. And remember, because this is the place where they fell before. And then Gaza, deception and judgment. And Goshen, that change in kingship and authority. They had to go through all of these battles just like you and me. We all go through the battles of who is really my shepherd? Who is really leading me? Am I leading myself? Is the society leading me? Is the economy leading me? Is it wherever it looks good, just like Lot? He looked up and he says, oh, this is a good spot. I want to go there. That's his shepherd. The money and the economy, that was his shepherd. Who is our shepherd? Who is leading me? Who is taking care of me? Is there a sin in my life? Am I feeling like, oh, I'm good. I'm good. There's self-sufficiency there. And then we start going, Joshua starts going one place to another, 7 years going to war day after day, day after day, day after day. And then it ends in 11, chapter 11. Verse 23, it says, so Joshua took the whole land. And I want you to hold on to that verse because next week we're going to start with a verse that sounds very contradicting to this. Okay. Which is great, because it will make us think a little bit. So it says, so Joshua took the whole land according to all the Lord had said to Moses. And Joshua gave it as inheritance to Israel, according to their divisions by their tribes. Then the land rested from war. Then the land rested from war. God delivered every promise he gave to Joshua 20 minutes ago or 25 minutes ago, whenever we started, maybe 30 minutes ago. Every promise when he told them, I'll be with you, do not fear, you will take the land. You will divide it exactly what God said, God delivered. Years and years and years, hard work, sleepless nights, going up all night, going against armies, going up against chariots, going against kings, going against things He never thought he would go against, but God did it. And I want you to remember these words because you're going to look back at the end of the year and God, and you will remember something. At January 1st, I think January 1st of 2023, Dina and I went for a walk, and we went for this hike, and we actually took the wrong trail, and we started walking in an area that was like 3 miles where we were not supposed to walk. It's illegal to walk, but we didn't know. We actually had to cross a creek to get to the street. Like we put like a tree, and anyway, it was great. It was wonderful. But after we were done and we were exhausted, we sat in this place and we were praying, and we said, okay, we're going to make a promise that we're gonna go come back to this place at January 1st, 2024, and thank God for a wonderful year. Thank God for everything that He's done. And let me tell you, it was the most exhausting year of our lives. Physically, like work and so many things were just so exhausting that sometimes I honestly fell asleep while I was in the car coming home. That's how exhausting this year was. Emotionally exhausting. In every way, it was just exhausting and tiring. But then we made that promise that we will go January 1st, that same spot. We ended up not going to the same spot, but to a similar spot. And we sat together and we just remembered God's goodness, because every morning we proclaim this, that we will surrender to God and goodness and mercy will follow us. No matter how challenging, no matter how tough, no matter how hard it is, goodness and mercy will follow us. And we made the same promise again this year, that January 1st of 2025, we'll go back to remember God's goodness, to remember that He was with us, to remember that His words never fail, and to remember that He was with us every single day. When Elijah left, He was there. When Elijah's sick, He's there. When we're here, when Dina's sick right now, He's here. When February, March, July, August, He will be there. He will be there. Because that's who He is, and that's what He does, you know. So let's remember that. Pick up some stones, make some memories. So these are the first 11 chapters that took us a year. I just gave it to you in half an hour, and please share with us. Ooh.
I want to just echo and come into agreement. When you first started, you said your first prayer, and I wrote it down because I really want to agree with that over my life, my family's life, our church's life, is may God deliver us from our fears and our limitations. We always talk about our fears and letting go of our fears, and God help us from our fears. But when you said limitations, it kind of struck a little bell right there, because we have limitations because of the fears. And then you said Moses is gone, so Joshua, who is he turning to now? And he's learning here from God, right? So we limit ourselves, and we don't realize, right, that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us.
That's
But
right.
we forget that many times, right? So I just want to come in agreement with that. We're talking about the new year. May God deliver us from our fears and our limitations. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
You know, there's something that you said, actually a couple things. You said a lot, but in the first part, you talked about how it was the battle of Joshua himself. And I think Pastor Mike just touched on that, the limitations, the fears and limitations. But what else, kind of stood out to you, other than the fact that Joshua, that he looked to Moses and Moses is now gone. What else did Joshua really have to overcome to be able to do what he was called to do? That was a question for you.
Oh, to me?
Yeah.
Why me? Just ask someone else. I really spoke enough. I'm not gonna speak again. I'm done.
What else did Joshua have to battle within himself other than him losing Moses and just being ready to take on the next series of things that I still haven't touched on? Because then you said something important. You said when you're discouraged, when you're down, when you're this, when you're that. As he mentions in chapter one, meditate day and night. So in other words, go back to the word. And I was having lunch with a friend just the other day, and he said there was something that Dallas Willard said that in his opinion, a lot of our meetings should begin with a study first. People sometimes will go into a meeting and there's praise and worship first, and then there's a study. Dallas Willard, the famous philosopher who passed away recently, said, in his opinion, people should have the study first. It's based on the study that then you get a glimpse and revelation of who God is, and then you begin to worship him for his revelation to you.
It's good.
Yeah. So the question still stands if anybody wants to take it on and tackle it. What else did Joshua have to battle? Other than him being the front man now.
Maybe fear.
Big time. And that's why God said to him in chapter one several times, do not be afraid. Yeah.
Go ahead. You say. She was going to say something and she doesn't want to say anything. Because I'm afraid to be wrong.
No.
There's no wrong answer.
Do not be afraid. That's right here.
Hey.
No, because the Nervin's going to say, you
no,
are not.
Mommy.
I'm just joking. No. I was thinking that he was not a follower, but he was supporting Moses through before he passed away. And now he has to be the leader. So he's going to have to step up in that sense and be with, of course, with God by his side. That's all what I wanted to say.
That's good. That's very good.
In my case, I will go to chapter four, the memorial stones. You know that they chose 12 men, and then everyone's gonna choose a stone, and then the memorials. I think in our life is the same thing. When we go to trials and we go through them, so we set our memories. You know, in this case, they choose the stones to bring it out and to have a memorial and go back and see what God did for them. In our lives will be the same thing when we go through trials and stuff, and then we we have the victory of that, and then we have to bring back the memories and as set of stones to remember who he is, who he was, and he will be faithful to us in the future, you know. So it's good to know that good things that he's been done all our lives, and go back to see all the blessings that give us more faith, you know, that he's with us no matter what. No fear, like, you know, like Joshua, no fear. And like Pastor Al says, you know, a revelation without action is nothing. So, with the obedience, you have to be obedient to what God is telling us to do, and have his presence all the time, and be obedient, because sometimes because we're not obedient, we miss blessings.
Yeah,
we miss to bless people or be blessed. And knowing that he is in front of us, that his yoke is easier, and he's guiding us through life, all the circumstances that we're going through. So that's what Joshua, I think, did, you know, the set of stones to remember all the trial.
There was two sets of stones, right? There were the stones they buried into the Jordan. And there was another set that came out of the Jordan.
Out of the Jordan, yep.
Which symbolizes our old life is being buried, and then a new resurrected life is coming out on the other side.
Yep.
But even that resurrected life coming on the other side in chapter 4 is followed by a party in chapter 5. As our stump said. The party of circumcision of chapter 5.
Yeah.
Party time. There's one thing that's actually been kind of highlighted to me in the past season. As we were going through Joshua, there's a part there right before they reach the river, that God had told them that it's not going to part until the priests actually put their feet in the water, then the water will part. And so I've been meditating on that a lot, how sometimes God calls us to do the impossible, and sometimes there's action that needs to be taken on our end in order to see God move. How, no matter how little, like you look at Moses before the Red Sea, he had a stick and he told them, you know, just stretch out the stick and the water is going to part. Stick had nothing. There was no power in the stick. Yeah. It was God doing it all along. But are you willing to walk in obedience no matter how insane the situation might seem to be? Will you be willing to take a stand? Will you be willing to step out in faith? You know, and oftentimes God tells us, you know, he told me, go do something. You want to see the power of God? Move. You want to see God do things? Take a step, no matter how impossible it might seem. See, because the power is not in the things that we do. It's in the obedience that we take. It's not matter what we have, but am I willing to step out in faith, believing that God will do whatever he desires to do in my obedience to him? And so that's been something that's really highlighted to me. You know, he's asking us to step out beyond what we have, and just to walk in obedience in order for us to see the power and the glory of God in our lives.
Amen. Amen. No, when since we have a small pause, no, I can't. you know, when Joshua was battling Joshua, one of the things I kept thinking about, if Moses couldn't do it, how am I going to do it? Really, that's what kept going through my mind. If Moses, with all his might, Moses, with all of his great, his great relationship with the Lord, Moses, with all the great experience before Christ and after Christ, before God and after God. Moses, by the way, if you look a little bit at the history, before he left Egypt, he was a great army general. You know, as a son of Pharaoh, he was a great army general. He won so many wars for Egypt. He was a great army general. He was so wise. He knew exactly. And then we know what happened to him for 4 years. And then God works in his life. And all of that, couldn't get it done. And Lord, you're asking me to do it? There is no way. There is no way. But there's something that happens when God speaks to us. Just like he went to that 17-year-old or 13-year-old or 14-year-old, however old she is, and told her, I'm going to make you the mother of the Messiah. Just like when he went to that poor carpenter and said that I'm going to have you the stepfather of my son. Just like when he went to all of these people like David and said, I'm going to have you kill that giant. Something happens in the presence of God that makes us change our minds from anything that's even logical, okay, to believe in whatever it is that God is telling us. That revelation that happens, that moment that happens, when we're ready, when we empty ourselves and we make ourselves available for God, that revelation, I'm telling you, like if I was in Joshua, place, that would be my biggest sign. Like, what am I gonna do? I am nothing compared to Moses, and Moses couldn't get the job done. You think I can get the job done? No way. But God showed up and he changed everything, and he still does the same, by the way. And that's it. I'm not going to say anymore. You also know that that's a lie. All right. Anyone else? We're getting close to 8 o'clock. Okay, so get ready. Chapter 13, we're going to start. As I mentioned, chapter 12 is all very much names of kings that they conquered. We went through most of them. Chapter 13, they start digging a little bit deeper. So get ready because things are going to get uncomfortable. But it's good because we're going to learn, we're going to surrender, and God will heal, and God will restore, and God will give us things and areas that we've never seen in the past before. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Pastor Edwin, could you pray for us, please?
Oh, dear Lord, thank you, God, for your presence, Lord, for being who you are in our lives and giving us all your blessings and all your promises, because your promises are truth. And I give you, Lord, all the praise for what you're doing in our lives individually as a whole, as a congregation, Lord. And thank you, Lord, for putting our brothers and sisters, Lord, in our lives to keep growing on you and help us, Lord, to grow spiritually this year, to be a fountain of who you are to the other people who are in need of you, Lord. And help us, Lord, to get more into the world, more students of the world, Lord, and to give us a strength and increase our faith in you, Lord, and who you are. In all of that, Lord, I give you all the praises and all the glory and bless our families, Lord. So in this year, you're going to give us revelations and help us to be obedient to that. In Jesus' name I pray, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Man, thank you, everyone. We'll see you next Wednesday, and Dina will be here. And get ready.
All right.
Have a great evening. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.